5 years ago, I was paying $65 a month for my subscriptions. Today, those same subscriptions cost $111, and I don't even use half of them anymore. That's why now I use Rocket Money to manage my subscriptions for me. The app gives you a list of all your subscriptions and reminds you of upcoming payments so you're not hit with any surprise charges. On top of that, it also sends you alerts when subscription prices go up, so you always know the price you're paying. If you decide you no longer want a subscription, you can cancel it right from the app. No customer service needed. And the best part is, Rocket Money even reaches out and tries to get you refunded for some of the money you lost. On average, people that cancel their subscriptions with Rocket Money save $378 a year. And overall, Rocket Money has saved its members $880 million in canceled subscriptions. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Seven knife and hell is what it is, what it do. Since Bobby Ingram, Curtis Ennis, know that we've been loyal even when we wasn't winning. A trusted source for the news. Seven knife and hell is.
What's going on, people? We are back. 79th and Hallis training camp. Weekly, you know, breakdown, I guess you want to say, man. Shout out to everybody who's watching on Twitter, on Facebook, on YouTube, every fucking thing that we're on right now. We appreciate y'all for watching. You know, to follow us on all social media networks at Bar Chair Scott, at Flo's Andolini. Follow the Barber's Chair Network at Barber's Chair Net on Twitter and Instagram. Subscribe to everything we do. Subscribe to the Patreon, patreon.com/Barber's Chair Network. Also, visit the bcnet.com and go get your ticket or just pull up whatever the fuck you want to do. 79th and Hallis 200 is approximately 12 days from now in Chicago. So you all know all the information for that shit. So how's it going?
I'm tired. I'm exhausted.
Obviously, you had a long week.
It was a long day, nigga. Freaking
long day, long week.
It's funny because the Bears open up the parking lot at 7:15 and then close it at 8. It's like practice don't start till 10. You could close it at 9. There weren't many fans there today because this is a closed practice and it was only for specific people who like won a raffle or something like that. I'm not 100% sure how it worked, but like there's no need for that. Like it's stupid. So I had to be there. I woke up at 5:30. Went there, got there by 7:17. I was there before. I was there before Jeff Joniak, and Jeff Joniak is there before everybody. Mm-hmm. So, getting there that early, and just man, being in a super quiet PNC Center, which is the media center for the in the press conference area, it was a little eerie. And then after that finished, I didn't leave out of there till like 1:30. Then that's when the Tevin Jenkins press conference ended. And then from there, went to our cousin's Trump party. So, long day. Just got back like an hour ago. I'm exhausted. But
So you've been doing a lot of moving and shaking. On top of that, you're getting ready to start a new job. So, you had a lot long week for you.
Yeah, very long week. But, you know, get to chat about our beloved Bears. And
the beloved Bears.
You know, part of this episode, it's going to be basically what I was saying in my article. If y'all don't know, the site is revamped. So you can check out the newest article that I wrote. It is from the heart.
BCNet.com.
It's from the heart. BCNet.com. TheBCNet.com. And it's just really about dealing with hype, dealing with, you know, this want or this really need. Sorry, I'm trying to increase the light in my room, and I feel like an old man. There we go. Dealing with the want and need for players that you love, that you care about, that you're really focused in on to be great so much that you'll blind yourself or you'll be too you'll blind yourself to the truth of the player or you'll be too critical about the player. And right now, Justin Fields is like the most polarizing player in Chicago because I would say half let me break it down. It's probably 40% or 30% who believes he's the next coming of Russell Wilson times 10. The other 30% are just downright negative and think, oh, he's trash. He missed some throws. He underthrew. He got picked off by the rookies. And then what's that? That's 60%. The other 40% are toss-up. And I feel like the majority of fans shouldn't be either of the first two, but probably the latter. Not necessarily a toss-up because this is a first-round pick. But the majority of fans shouldn't be so oh God, it's the end of the world. So, you know.
Have you met Bears fans before?
I know. Unfortunately, we do not know how to just calmly approach a situation. I mean, there are people sitting in the stands with Mr. Trubisky jerseys. Get a hold of yourself. Not on the Bears anymore.
They got a couple people upset. I mean, this is one thing I got to say. Like, I haven't been.
Hold on. I would say folks are like, oh, you know, we bought those jerseys. We're supposed to get rid of them. I'm like, no. Feel free to wear it, but why? This is an active player who played for the Bears for what, 4 years, 5 years? What did he do? What did he do for the Bears that deserves his jersey to be immortalized, you know, to be used consistently again and again? Devin Hester, when he went to Atlanta and then eventually Seattle, he was a Bears legend. It's perfectly fine.
Yeah.
It's perfectly fine. But even if Mitch came into town and you were playing him, I understand that. But you're at practice with a sea of Mitch jerseys. Like, Mitch sucked. We were like, Mitch didn't suck. Oh, he didn't get a fair shot. I get it to you. He had a fair shot.
He had a fucking fair shot.
He just had a terrible coach.
He had a terrible coach, and he was also
garbage himself.
Two things can be true.
Both of those things can be true. He's just not a good quarterback. I liked him. I wanted him to succeed. I used to tweet all the time about, look at my son. He out here killing 300 yards, three touchdowns. You know, when occasionally he beats some squirrels and turned into a world beater every two games per season. But that time is over now.
It's like, you know, and if you ever hear somebody say, oh, he's a cool guy, he's easy to root for when it comes to a quarterback, that means he's ass. That should be the first thing on my mind. Like, this motherfucker can throw the ball. Like, when I think of Patrick Mahomes first, he's a great guy. You know, it's not what comes to my mind.
No. It's not what comes to my mind at all. The first thing I think of is that nigga a dog. That's the first thing that I think of, and that's the first thing that you should think of. So, you know, that's...
And we're also saying, like, nobody forced you to wear a jersey. You can wear a fucking shirt. You can wear something. Like, there's a little jersey etiquette. I think, first of all, when it comes to jerseys in general, and this is a rule I've set for myself, I no longer buy jerseys of players who aren't established in their careers yet. I watch contracts, too. You know what I'm saying? Like, as far as, you know, wearing what you're going to wear. But even if you want to wear, why are you getting all in your fucking field? This is the thing I've noticed in the 2 weeks of camp is... Is people and you had a very respectful tone of going about this thing. When people, I understand we all want to know what's going on with the Bears, but if you say, "Oh, I think the O line is getting fucked up tonight," and then somebody comes like, "Well, somebody else said," you don't give a fuck what somebody else said. That's your opinion.
Yeah,
and it's like we only are in Bears Twitter. I don't know how it works in Giants Twitter or Eagles Twitter, but. I feel like there's been a beef between the media and Chicago Bears fans that has been lame as hell. You know what I'm saying? And the media isn't rooting against the fucking team. No. The Bears can be bad enough on their own without the media fucking lying about it. And it's just like y'all want to see these roses and stuff when it's a team that if lucky will win six games. So there's not going to be a lot of roses. There's going to be a lot of shit. And you're just reporting what you're seeing. Like you said, they had a great day. You're going to report what you see. You're taking your fan hat off. And I know it's hard for people to do that because they're mostly invested. And you told me right before I started covering the team that you like, you're going to start feeling the same way with like, you care, but you don't care as much as you used to. No. And I thought you were full of shit. I was like, I'm always going to care. Then I got in this seat and I'm like, no, I feel them. Like, I care, but I don't like wake up in cold sweats about what the update is. I don't care like that. Like, I don't let it ruin my life. Now, that don't mean I'm not finna be angry if the Bears lose a game, but I think I understand more of it now. Now, this is because we're behind the curtain now, so it's easier for us. I shouldn't be having the expectations of fans. You're just being fans. But if he says something that he sees, there's no need to challenge it. If I see something I see, no need to challenge it. I'll do my best not to cuss y'all ass out because I'm not him. So I'm going to try that much because I will be at camp next week, mainly by myself. So I'm interested to see what that's going to be like.
You know, I don't know. It's, you know, the one thing like the media hates the fans. I don't get it because I have good relationships with literally everybody, but maybe one or two. And not that the people that I don't have a relationship with is people I just don't really talk to or interact with. You know,
not a hate thing.
Not a hate thing. Like when I first got in there, I didn't really talk to Mark Grody, but I didn't have an issue with Grody. I said nothing to him. Did I talk to him more? Of course. He's a nice person, you know, but I just didn't have a relationship with him. That was the only issue, you know, like for an instance. Whereas the people who I talked to immediately were like Kevin Fishbane, Jason Leisure, and then the next season, Herb. you know, those people who I gravitated with immediately. But, and then now, you know, I know people like Zach Pearson, Nicholas Moreno, like, you know, I know the whole, you know, Dan Weider, the one people like, you know, people love to dunk on Dan and get mad at Dan, because they think Dan hates the Bears. Dan is a very nice dude.
And he doesn't super, super hate nice guy. Super nice guy. And I was actually taken aback by that too before I, you know, started going around.
Oh, like, he says hello, what's up, Joe? Like,
he's super nice guy.
People. You know, the thing is, it's just like Dan is a legend in Chicago media. He's been covering the Bears, I want to say, for like 20 years now. What is Dan's? Dan has a site, so I can go to his whatchamacallit, his website, and find out how long he's been covering. He's been covering the Bears for a very, very long time, and so you expect him to, you know, deal with it a little bit differently. You know what I'm saying?
You know how many bad Bears teams he's seen in his 20 years? Like,
oh,
I got fed up with 5 games I covered last year. 5.
Why?
I can imagine 20 years. So you're going to be, you know, and when you go into practice stuff, you're seeing stuff that people just, remember last year.
So Dan covered ACC basketball since 05. Then he was a Vikings beat writer for 2 years. Then he's been covering the Bears since 2013. That's multiple regimes.
Yeah.
Multiple regimes that he's been dealing with. And, you know, Brad Biggs, another person who's been covering the Bears for a long time. He's covering the Brad Biggs. He's been covering the Bears since 2001. Biggs has been covering the Bears since 2001.
But remember two years ago, it was Mitch's last year. And remember it was only Dan Weider and Biggs was like, a lot of people was trying to like pretty up Mitch's shit. Put perfume on shit. And both of them was like, this dude ain't really good. And people was killing him. And what happened when the season started? You know what I'm saying? Like sometimes fans don't want to know that you don't know the truth. You don't want to know the truth of what your team is sometimes.
Also, the funny thing is that human beings are so diverse in our opinions that we can look at the same thing and come out with two different opinions. So for instance, if we were watching me run down the street,
somebody think Age of Ultron is a bad movie. I think it is really good.
So we were watching if people were watching me run down the street, two different people. Somebody can say, this man is slow as hell. Other person can say, he's moving pretty quick for a big guy. Like, it could be one of those two things. Probably both the truth, but they'll have two different opinions. The same way we watch practice. I was talking to Herb on Wednesday. It was me, him. Maybe it was Nick. Maybe it was Zach. Wasn't because Zach was out of town. I want to say it was Nick. And we were sitting there watching, and Herb was like, man, you know, I went on Twitter and I was like arguing with people because I said Justin didn't have a good camp. I think he was stinking it up. And then maybe it was Nick or it was Jason. Somebody said, oh, it's been on and off. It's been okay. And I was the one who was like, yeah, it's been ups and downs. But so we had three different opinions based on the
same
one
area
that we saw. And then I said, oh, man, this O-line's getting killed. I was like, well, the beat writer said it wasn't. I was like, well, they have a different opinion. I was like, but when I see if not giving up sacks but still getting that line crunched and condensed isn't good either. I'm like, that's also bad. But we also had two different opinions because we're human beings and we have diverse opinions. But I've learned not to really argue, or I've learned to be polite. I'll say, well, just like life, people have diverse opinions. And it's okay that you disagree.
I wish I was like that. Because I'm like, well, look here, dickhead. Like, I'm the one sitting there. But no, so anyway, we're two weeks through camp. You know what I'm saying? What have some of your observations been? You've been, how many, two or three practices a week? What is this, before we get into like the actual rundown, what's like some stuff that's kind of like, you know, stood out to you?
The intensity of the practices, they were hitting. They were hitting each other hard. Like N'Keal Harry going down, he got hit kind of hard. It seemed to be accidental contact, but I mean, they were like close to physical contact as you could possibly be. These were some huge plays. David Montgomery got smacked at the middle, but I mean, he basically took out. It wasn't Nicholas Morrow who was. He took out the linebacker, but like it was initial contact, and they were smacking. So that intensity was. I mean, that's something you expect like high school football, because high school football coaches in the city don't really care about your health, suburbs. No, they would care about your health because they're more well-oiled machine, but CPS schools don't care. At least, unless you're like Phillips or something. But seeing them hit was a little bit, I mean, it was cool for me to see, but it was a little different. I wasn't used to it. The rookies, Jaquan Brisker and Kyler Gordon, even though Kyler Gordon's been out since Wednesday, seeing them flying around the ball, constantly being where the ball is. I mean, making incredible plays. One interception that Brisker has on Justin, I mean, everybody, the coaches, the players are like, this is just a good play. Because the ball was there for Kmet, but Brisker laid out with his entire body and picked it off. Like, you couldn't do it better than that. Like, it's the superstar play. Justin Fields' accuracy, when he is on, he is, like, dropping dimes, dropping him in the bucket. I've also noticed him getting better at his reading progressions. Sometimes at Ohio State, as with every college quarterback, and I say literally every college quarterback, from Trevor Lawrence to Justin himself, to Troy Smith back in the day when I was in high school, to Peyton Manning, to Tom Brady, they're locked in on receivers. You know, oh, it's Chris Olave. He's gonna destroy this nigga. Let me just wait. I got one of the greatest O-line in the Big Ten. Let me just wait. That type of, I'm going to lock in on my receiver. But then there are times, of course, in the Clemson game where he was just boom, 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 getting through his progressions. Okay, not there, not there, not there. Going back, and then he found his open man. What I'm seeing now is Justin is starting to progress faster, 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 faster. Is the timing was off at first. Now the timing is starting to sink in. And when you're installing a new offense, sometimes the first excuse we can say is, hey, man, here they're installing a new offense. It's like, yeah, but you want progress. And right now they're stacking up incremental wins right now. Small incremental wins. Okay, his footwork's better. He's moving. He's not doing the typical college QB, which is, so you're doing a three-step drop and you're just staying there. You're not, you know, Peyton Manning was the king of chopping your feet and constantly moving. That's the prototypical move.
Right.
But now, you know, you should just be moving. You should just have, you know, a nice little bend to you. But no, most college QBs will sit. Problem is, when you sit, you might need to get yourself a head start. You might need to take off running, but you also have to go through your breeds. You might have to roll out to the other side of the field. And so that's why it's good to keep those feet moving. Justin was moving his feet more, going through his progressions more, trusting his receivers. If it was tipped, if it was interception, he's still going to put it out there. David Montgomery had a corner route on Nicholas Morrow. Nicholas Morrow covered him extremely well. But Justin put it in a position where he could make a play. Now, David Montgomery's not a 6'5 wide receiver, but he still gave him the chance to try and get it. And if it's one thing Bears QBs have struggled with in the past is, can I accept this turnover, possible turnover? Can I throw a 50-50 ball and be okay with the result and move on?
Jay Cutler said, fuck it, every time.
Now, Jay Cutler was one of the people who just didn't care. And
didn't give a shit.
If Jay Cutler had the football smarts of someone better, he would have been incredible. Because his arm was ridiculous.
If Jay Cutler cared about the game of football, like actually, you know, gave a fuck in like film sessions, decided to be better every offseason, he'd have been great. Because like you said, he had the tools. He just didn't give a fuck.
Oh, he was freaking great. He had an extreme amount of tools, but he didn't really care. At least that's from my own perspective. And I wasn't behind the curtain then. But yeah, so that's my takeaways from camp. The receivers are quick. Tajay Sharpe had a damn good game today. Even when I was talking to Coach Flus, Evil Flus, he was like, that's a good observation. He did have a really good day today. He was a 6 or 7 year veteran.
You can really kind of tell that Flus is a football mind. Like I feel like he look like he uncomfortable and he don't do anything that's not football.
I know. And I don't know if it's just a new coach bias or wishful thinking or confirmation bias, but it felt good to talk to someone who knew what they were doing. At least seems like it.
Not like Mr. Word Salad. We're doing a couple things. Guys are getting better. And we like that. We like that. When it's moving like that, you're going forward in the right direction. That's all Nagy was saying.
And whereas Flus, and this is, once again, this is me covering my own bias and not saying, you know,
we're not saying that coach. This is going to make Flus a great coach. Yeah.
This is why it's a low-ass bar that I have to say this was good to hear. It was good to hear to say, I like this person in the 3 technique and then this, the 5. That type of football talk or, you know, him catching over that crossing route shows that he is willing to stick it out with possibly a big hit over the middle or possibly having contact over the middle. Like the specific things were really refreshing to hear. And it was refreshing to see a fast team. This one thing I can see about the Bears, they're freaking fast. Those DBs are everywhere on the ball. when Roquan niggas Moreau is gonna be a nasty freaking tandem, bro. Like, man, they are freaking, man. Niggas Moreau can freaking move. Moreau, forgive me if I pronounced that wrong. I had a little chat with him during the press conference today, and he was saying, you know, when it comes to looking for adversity or finding adversity, I take it as Murphy's Law. You know, whatever can happen will happen. I think I'm paraphrasing Murphy's Law. I was like, well, then how do you avoid confirmation bias is when you're trying to find something. You think you spotted a problem, but really you took something minute and made it into a mole. It's made it into a mountain. So it was a good conversation had with him. But yeah, everybody's just freaking moving. David Montgomery had a run on the outside, and in a real game, Jaquan Brisker would have sent him to hell because Jaquan Brisker like caught him, hawked him. I'm like, that nigga is quick. Kyler Gordon, a couple practices ago, coming over the middle, catches a ball that's intended for 84. I can't think of his name right now. Spots it, bats it down. Like, they're moving. And so I await the day, hopefully soon, when Roquan gets his due, his pay. One thing I can say, he's still out there with his teammates. That's my thing is, you know, holding out, you'd never have to not be there. You can be there. You can hold out and be there.
Well, it's the new era of hold-ins where you're still there and you're doing stuff. Like, before, players just wouldn't fucking show up.
Which, I'm glad that he showed up because he's still out there cheering his teammates. He's still being heard. When I got to Hollis Hall, it's 7:17. I'm walking out. I'm walking toward the front. I hear, like, because we all just want to be a big rock star. I'm like,
where Bama's playing this music?
I'm like, who's playing this pop?
Is Jimmy Butler playing for the Bears?
Nickelbackish country music is coming to me. And I see a drop top Bentley, and I said, ah, it's Roquan. I passed by, this certainly was Roquan. I'm like, that's hilarious.
So are there any, like, any whispers or anything at camp of what's going on with his contract situation, or is it just radio silent?
I've had pretty much radio silence. As you know, I don't have the sources of my Bears colleagues, but soon. But I've just heard whispers, you know, and it's like, they're working on the type thing, you know. Some people have.
Well, they must be talking because Roquan ain't got an agent, so.
Yeah, I mean, that's a risky thing. Even if you know the business, even if you're good with contracts, it's always good to have another pair of eyes.
Fucking agent, yeah.
You know, that can say, you're missing this and that, or you're being screwed over in this and that. Because sometimes confirmation bias, wishful thinking.
That's why Lamar Jackson doesn't have a contract right now either, because he doesn't have a fucking agent.
Just get an
agent. Ravens are like, here, take my money.
Like, just get an agent. You know, call it a day. But so yeah, that's what I've noticed from Cam.
So since you're talking about the defense, like, because I feel like everybody's want to know about Justin Fields, and we'll get into Justin Fields in a moment. But do you have any indication? Of course, we'll have a better indication next Saturday when with the first preseason game. They play the Chiefs, right?
See.
Okay, yeah. So it'll be the Chiefs. We don't know if Patrick Mahomes is gonna play, but I hope he does. So I would like to see Patrick Mahomes on the field. But we're gonna be at the game, so we'll get more of an idea, just a little bit of idea what this is looking like. Because Blue said it, starters are gonna play on Saturday. Oh, I know that's a shocking revelation here. Starters playing preseason games. Never heard of that shit before. So this would be a better look at. We ain't gotta be begging for Justin Fields to get in the game like we did last year, and then Nagy put him in some fuck you set with the fourth stringers and shit. So looking forward to that. But what's your impression of the defense so far? I don't think we've been talking enough about the defense. Like, we've heard about Kyler Gordon and Jaquan Brisker, but just in general, and of course Roquan is going to be added to this eventually. But what do you say about, like, the new pickups, the Justin Jones and things of that nature? How you think this Fluce system is going to work defensively?
I'm interested to see. It's the same way how I feel about my dog is trying to claw out of my room. I'm interested to see how the defense comes together when Roquan is getting more ramped up with his recovery and rehab. But it's like I said before, the defense is fast, the defense is physical. They're going through a situation where they lost all of their interior linemen. Yeah. You know, Eddie Goldman, Bilal Nichols, Akeem Hicks, those niggas are gone. And so they had to restructure. And I think they did a really good job of bringing in players who are, I forgot the way Ryan Poles had basically Ryan Poles to say that he's bringing in guys who has something to prove, bringing in guys who weren't just going to sit there, bringing in guys who actually wanted to play their tails off because they were fighting for something, whether that's a contract, whether that's to fight to get a position on any NFL team. It was that, and I'm trying to find let's look at the Bears depth chart, because unfortunately I'm not as good at, with names as other people are. But I, what I like about it is the interior. The interior seemed, I mean, the exterior. Even though they didn't have Robert Quinn in there, they still are having some really flat-out dudes who are flying to the ball. And them flying to the ball is, it's kind of shocking, you know. So we got Travis Gibson, Justin Jones came out of the Chargers. Justin Jones playing a defensive tackle right next to Blackson and Travis Gibson and then Robert Quinn when he's healthy. Justin Jones was flying near the ball, constantly getting in and disrupting. And then with your linebackers, you're going to look at Roquan Smith, Nicholas Morrow. Nicholas Morrow just himself is that Mike linebacker was looking incredible. And then, I mean, the backfield, Kyler Gordon, Eddie Jackson,
I really think Bo Jack and Jalen are going to like really benefit from having two young dogs out there. And you can see Jalen's taking like both of them will take the leadership roles. Like, I feel like Bo Jack is, you know, obviously he's going through a lot personally. He's lost a lot of friends, you know, in the streets and just, you know, all the stuff he's been getting thrown. He hasn't been the Bo Jack we've known him to be since he's gotten that big contract, but he's been up there saying like, I'm at peace. You know, I'm ready to be a leader. I'm only old guy here still. Like, if you think about the 2018 team, it's really only him.
Yeah, I'm looking at
him and Roquan. Him and Roquan, the only people from that 2018 team still here.
Yeah, right now, probably you'll have Kyler Gordon, Kendall Vildor, Eddie Jackson, Jaquan Brisker, Jalen Johnson, Nicholas Morrow, Roquan Smith, Matt Adams, Robert Quinn, Justin Jones, D'Angelo Blackson, Travis Gibson. Yeah.
And he's like, I got to take more of a leadership role. And even Jalen's talking more. We don't see Jalen Johnson talk at all. He's talking more. He said, yeah, we bust the offense ass like this week. And I like to hear shit like that. So I really feel like those two, that's probably the group that I'm most excited about. Outside of Justin, obviously, is that secondary. Because we've had Jalen Johnson has been amazing just by himself. You know what I'm saying? With nobody. He had scrubs around him his first 2 years, you know what I'm saying, just trying to be that corner by himself. Remember how well he guarded Devontae. He said, if I'm a true number one, I need to be guarding the number one. You know what I'm saying? So for him to be doing that with Devontae, and now you've got a guy in Kyler Gordon who can add to that. And it takes the pressure off the rookies, I believe, too, because you got these two vets. So that's the, you know, the side of the team that I'm looking forward to the most on the defense.
Sorry, my dog is insane right now. Buddy Wood. But yeah, I think what I'm looking forward to the most is this Kyler Gordon. I'm really thinking Kyler Gordon is finna just like take off. Eddie Jackson, I think he'll just have that veteran presence that knows what he's doing. He had an incredible first 3 years where he was getting turnovers that is like us otherworldly.
Right, yeah.
But now you can't expect that. He's getting to a position where like I'm not throwing his way. Which is just as
it's respect.
I mean, it's respect, it's a showcase of we know what you do. I'm not going to punish your way. So that is a show and a sign of respect for him. Jaquan Brisker is a hard hitter. He's got hands. Playing Kyler Gordon, they want to just move around. They really like Kendall Vildor, which whatever.
Whatever.
Because he's been playing nickel for the most part. We're shuffling with the second back row. I think like right cornerback. And so that's fine, but Kyler Gordon is constantly moving. I'm really, really, really excited to see those two players take off. And, of course, those are the Bears' highest draft picks.
Yeah, and so, that feels good to have a high draft pick actually be talked about well in camp.
That's true.
We also, never Braxton had none Jones, of that outside of Roquan.
Yeah. Braxton Jones was,
about him.
You know, taking whatchamacallit, has been taking the snaps of starter. As a starter on offense at the offensive line. So that's also pretty good to show that the players that they're drafting, unlike Ryan Pace from last year, where niggas was going to the practice squad even after they got drafted, which is just beyond me. It's good to see that the players that they picked up are immediately getting put to good use. Valus Jones, I'm intrigued to see where he what he does, he's very, very fast. And I imagine he'll have that second corner, second wide receiver spot if N'Keal Harry doesn't heal up. Harry's a big nigga. Jeez. Like, I thought, I'm like, is this a running back? Who is this nigga? Like, he's huge. So he's a big target. Darnell Mooney looks like he's gonna have a great
time. I heard he's been hooping. Like, yeah, they asked Chad, asked Ocho Cinco about any thoughts about the Chicago Bears. And he put in bold words, Darnell motherfucking Mooney, bitch. That's what Ocho Cinco.
Yeah, Darnell Mooney is gonna be fire. He's gonna be that guy. He's gonna be that guy.
Shout out our Facebook user in the Facebook, one of the Facebook users on comments. Any sleepers? Any sleeper people in camp?
Tajay Sharp, man. I'm telling you, I noticed that, you know, my first training camp last year, I didn't have an opportunity. I was so hyper focused and laser focused on Justin that I took my mind off everybody else. Whereas this year in camp, I'm just focusing on who's standing out, who's doing a good job. Noticing Braxton Jones doing a good job on the offensive line. And then watching the receiver position, I really like Tajay Sharp, and I'm hoping he makes the roster.
Oh, it's bang. It's bang. It don't show your name on here, dog. So I don't know. It says Facebook user in the fucking comments.
So I'm hoping it's Tajay Sharp. He makes a team, gets him a nice roster spot. That'd be really dope for him. He's moved around the league. I'm hoping to kill Harry, but he's a big freaking target. He's 6'5".
So you know he's that fucking big. You know, I wonder why he was a bust in New England. Like, what the fuck happened? That's what I want
to
know.
I mean, they drafted in the first round, so we have to understand. Like, they expected big things out of him. He came.
Yeah, but Tom Brady can make water out of wine.
Arizona State? I mean, Tom Brady had like 1 year with him.
Yeah, that's true.
So, like, yeah, he came to the. He was on injured reserve. He didn't play until November 24th, 2019. And that's when he caught a touchdown pass from Tom Brady. So, yeah, he appeared in 7 games in 2019.
So he wasn't even there half the season, Brady's last year.
No, no. Okay. And then in 2020, it didn't seem like 2020, he had 33 receptions, 309 yards. And that's when he, whatchamacallit. That was as he started 9 games that year, appeared in 14. In 2021, injured reserved again because of an injury that he suffered in preseason. And, you know, it's unfortunate he got injured again. And so he has been dealing with injuries most of his career. He's just still a big target. So, like, I want him to succeed here for his own benefit, but also for the Bears because I think, you know, that's good for them. But also, going to Bang's comment, I'm assuming this is him again. Yeah. The duds. The duds, I'm not really seeing much from Byron Pringle. He's also been injured, hasn't practiced since Wednesday. But I haven't really seen much that – I feel like he's been outshined. Like, I haven't seen things – it's also – I wouldn't even say a dud. It's just like a – I haven't seen much from him this practice that makes me – think highly of him. That's really about it.
Well, all the duds are offensive line, because I saw you when you tweeted that, and I feel like just the amongst Bears media, a lot of people has been lukewarm. You said it had its moments. Like, should we still be worried? And this is basically an interview because I'm not gonna be at Lake Forest till Wednesday, so I don't really know shit outside of what I'm being told. But Is there? Do you have any concern levels for the offensive line so far?
I'm wondering if somebody like Larry Bohr maybe could move to guard. 23 years old, and he played guard while he was at Mizzou, in his freshman year, I believe. I'm wondering if it's too much to handle that freaking quick rush from an end. But the line was shuffling around a lot, vet days, injuries.
And Getsy said they're nowhere near actually picking who the starting offensive line is.
Yeah, and so it's a lot. Like, I've seen good from Doug Kramer, which, you know, Doug Kramer looked like he was my size. Doug Kramer is out of Illinois. I want to be 100% sure, certain. Yeah, he's drafted in the 6th round this year. Yeah, he's out of Illinois. It was fun to see him, but Doug's right now, it's just the offensive line, but these are pairings that won't be made the same, you know, opening day. So, and then I'm interested to see what Tevin Jenkins does now that he's ramping up his going, you know, his getting back process. So, duds, I don't really have any duds outside of the offense itself. The offense itself is just starting to give his break steam. You know, right. It's just starting to gain initial steam because right now they look, yeah.
Well, here's a thing I feel like I've seen no coverage on. How's the fucking running game looking?
Fire.
It looks good?
Fire. They're hitting the holes hard. Okay. They're hitting the holes hard. The running lanes for them are enormous. The running lanes for them are enormous. They are hitting the hole effectively. David Montgomery and Khalil Herbert are going to be very good. Very, very – I mean, just intentionality of running. I hate saying intentionality. But the very intention of, okay, I'm making a cut north. Making a cut north. Not let me take this east. No, it's cut north, and they're just getting north. You know, north and south, but you're going north. But just going forward and getting that forward motion there, the center of balance. I've really been impressed by the running back room and the wide receiver room. Wide receiver room more so because there's not the star-studded power.
It might be a sleeper group.
Yeah,
it might. That's what I'm hoping, that it's a sleeper group that, like, you know, on paper, like, who the fuck is Vivas Jones, Byron Pringle, who's these motherfuckers? Like, I'm hoping it could be one of them. You know what I'm saying? We got a couple more. See, funny thing, Bang, it don't show your name, but it shows somebody else's. So Bang has one. We have two questions on Facebook. Bang has, he said, I've heard the D's have looked good. How did that part of the line look post Mac?
What was the question?
I heard the DEs, the defensive ends.
All the defensive ends
have looked good. How does that part of the line post Khalil Mack look?
It's hard to evaluate with him because all you have right now is there's Justin Jones is the defensive tackle, Robert Quinn and Travis Gibson. Travis Gibson has been all over the the field. Travis Gibson is. He looks like the veteran that he's supposed to be. I mean, every tackle he's going against is getting pushed up, immediately getting crunched and pushed into Justin. So he's doing his guy. I'm expecting Travis Gibson to have a very good year this year. Obviously, Robert Quinn is still ramping his, his comeback. So I can't obviously say about him. Justin Jones is a defensive tackle and not a defensive end, but he's right next to the defensive end. And he really talked about how fast the group and physical the group is. So I can't really say about the defensive ends other than Travis Gibson looks good, which I'm expecting Travis Gibson to look good.
Yeah, he's taking a bigger load this year.
Yeah, you know, it's much more of a load management for them.
Yeah, got another question. Randy Brown, what do you guys think about the draft pick?
Coach Randy?
Oh, Coach. this name sounds familiar. What up? What do you feel about draft pick, Allie Green?
He came out of what, Mizzou?
It came out of Mizzou. Yeah, Missouri. Yeah.
I haven't had much of the opportunity specifically to pay attention to him, so I can't say that, but I know he came out of Mizzou, if I'm 100% correct. Unfortunately, there are thousands of cornerbacks on that team. Right. But if I knew his number, I would probably know better. But right now, I don't have a personal opinion on him. Hard to pay attention to 100 people on the field right now.
Right, yeah. Well, moving on before we get to Tevin Jenkins shit, just real quick going to Justin. What would your grade be for Justin Fields so far? Because I feel like it's been very vague. Some's like, oh, yeah, real great today. Some's like, man, he could have did that better. And, you know, the Bears, they don't show no fucking highlights. Like, you get the little
– oh, Allie Green is 31. Allie Green has constantly been in with the twos. I've seen him getting with the threes a few times. It just seems like he's around the ball, which is a good skill. But I'd be dishonest if I said I was watching everything. But yeah, I had to find his number. Right now, the more I know his numbers. So yeah, he's kind
of got the names on the back this year now too, don't they?
Yeah, which is it's an odd thing. I don't pay attention to it at all. I'm still right. Just looking at numbers.
Yeah, because it's like hasn't like registered in your head yet. Yeah. Yeah, I get that. But yeah, so you know, what's your overall opinion on Justin Fields these first 2 weeks? Like,
I would give Justin Fields. Probably a C+. Before pads came on, I felt that he was probably cruising at a C-, because the issue was he held onto the ball too long. It's like he's there, make the throw. Then it's like that. It's not the Ben Roethlisberger pump fake where he over the shoulder and pulls it back in. It's just like I want to throw it, but I'm not doing it yet. And that pump fake, immediately the DB knows you're going here. I'm coming in. I'm cutting in now. And that would allow pass breakups. The timing was off. Secondly, he was not taking off when there was a lane. I mean, if it's one thing you learned from Lamar Jackson, is if there is a running lane, run.
Go, right.
And I mean an actual running lane. I don't mean, oop, there's space. I can make someone miss. I mean, this is a complete running lane. I'm just going to take it. I can get 10 yards easily. Because if they're going to give you that, the next thing you'll know, you'll see them start to pressure you in the pocket. They'll start to make sure and cover you on the outside, make sure you don't do that. They may bring in an extra blitzer. And then when that happens, oh, there's a quick throw. There's a slant over the middle. There's an arrow route. There's a corner route. Those type of things start to open up. And so he was not doing that at first. And I was like, pads came on the first day. I wasn't there. But the first day of those pads, I just remember Herb saying it was awful. And everybody said, yeah, Justin had a rough practice. And I want to say it was Mark Potash who even asked, you know, Coach Flus, like, you know, he had a rough practice that day. You know, what's the issue? He's like,
what's
you
the story?
Know, he's just going through the progression.
Right.
You know, and Justin, who always looks annoyed that he's talking to us, he's like, you know, y'all don't really see what's going on.
People got mad at that comment.
I want to say, we saw it was trash. It's okay. It's okay. And I get it, you know. You're a professional football player. You have played this your entire life. You got to the highest.
They don't look at the media. Very,
you see
very
us
funny.
Like a bunch of nerds. I'm not a nerd, but you see a bunch of nerds up in there. You think, what you know about football?
Biggest.
You know what you know about football. Even though I am amongst the people who played football, I know what it is. Obviously, I didn't play college or whatever. You guys.
Well, I paid 15 years ago.
You know what I'm saying? But back in my
day, it was on TV.
But I get it. It's like, how do you have the gumption to critique something you've never been a part of? Whereas if you know what I mean? I study theology and philosophy. If somebody who is a theologian and philosopher critiques me, it's like, well, you know, you feel better knowing that you're in my field. Well, since we're
well,
not
you can, you could be a player and say something like Jalen Rose said before. He said, I have players mad at shit I say it all the time. And Jalen Rose is a really good NBA player.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So it doesn't when it's criticism, people have a problem with it. And I actually didn't have any issue with what Justin said.
Because, no, I didn't either.
We really don't know. This is they're holding a lot of shit back. In these practices,
it's like when they were working on, and I have to be careful because I don't know what I'm allowed to say about specific drills. But there was a condensed drill where this would never happen in an actual game. Right. So a pass breakup, it's like you don't really care. You're trying to literally squeeze him in a situation that is literally impossible in the football game. Like literally, the rules would don't allow it, but you're trying to see him work through that just so like you can work through the toughest. You can work through an easier situation. So in that situation, it's like, man, you'll never actually be in that. So I got what he was saying. But, you know, talking to him, you know, he felt that right now they're just working. Obviously, we don't know progression outside of what we see. We see, oh, you held on too long. But what if Eberflus said, all right, Justin, this drive, I want you to hold it until they're open. I don't know. I want
and
to
that's
teach-
what I want
obviously this. I am literally giving you some sort of wild situation that I just made up. That I mean it's actually will happen. What if he says, I want you to be patient in your progressions? What if he told him that? If he said be patient, Justin might have did that flick because he wants to throw it. Yeah. But in his mind, he's like, all right, be patient. He throws the flick and he messes. In our mind, you held on too long. But in reality, it's actually, no, I'm holding on longer because I'm trying to work on my patience. You know, that type of thing. I don't know. And so we can only go off what we see. But what was different now, which makes me say, because it's like at first it was a C, then like a D, and then today it looked like a B plus, A minus, because not ball got out quick. You know, somebody makes a cut in the route, ball's thrown to the position.
But that's why I tweeted that practice is for you to fuck up. You rather you do this shit now than we sitting here on September 11th against the Niners, like, well, he shouldn't have did that shit. Get it out the way now. That's what it's for these type of things, man. But let's talk about the elephant in the room, literally. Tevin Jenkins was there today.
Yeah.
A lot of people, you know, from the press conference didn't really seem like he was giving any answers. He was talking to y'all like y'all
Coach Randy coached Allie Green. And I should have known that he coached him in Texas. That makes a lot of sense. He was around the ball. But I will make sure to watch him more from this point on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So let's talk about the Tevin Jenkins thing. Like, what was the vibe there? Because, you know, of him being there, you know, he didn't participate that much in practice, but he did practice. His teammates were even shocked to see him. What's your diagnosis, you think, on what's going on since we really not getting any answers?
That's a very, very odd situation because it's like he just came off a punishment. You know what I mean?
Right.
You know, it's like he just got whooping or he just got out of timeout. And he's like, I'm sorry, guys. I'm going to do better now. And, like, now the trade rumors are going to stop. It's almost like, if you don't get your act together, we're going to put you in a trading block. That type of thing. It's weird. Yeah. And, like, when we're asking about her, pressed Eberflus and was like, what's the injury? He's like, oh, it's day to day. It's like, we're not asking you the time length. What is the injury? If he has a back problem, a leg problem, a pectoral problem, a bicep problem, you'd say, well, you know, he's dealing with this. But it's like, now it's like, he's day to day. Then you ask him, you know, what are you feeling right now? He's like, I should be 100% in a couple of days. You're like, what injury can you go from 90 to 100% in a couple of days?
Right.
It's like, huh. So I don't have a specific feeling. Part of me wonders, is he dealing with the mental stress that comes with life? I don't know, you know, and I won't even pretend to act like I know. Nor will I make a diagnosis on it, because I have to be respectful that if it is mental, it's somebody who struggles with anxiety, diagnosed generalized anxiety disorder, medication right above my computer, I'm not going to sit there and diagnose it, because do not self-diagnose, get a doctor. But that being said, it's not my job to say that. So I don't know. It just seems like it's something more than we
seems
know.
Odd. Yeah, it definitely seems like there something else.
An incident, and that led to things, and now it seems to be resolved. Because we said, it seemed like you were fine at the beginning of the camp. Something happened. What happened? He's like, I'm not going to respond to that. So it's like, well, by not responding, you responded. You showed your hand. I know you have the freaking ace of spades right there. Like, I know it now. So seems like something happened that created some sort of rift. And within that rift, he's come to the place that he is now. But now it seems like, okay, we're about to ramp him up back into practice. Now, you know, he's made that commitment to stay here. And maybe we won't find out. I'm looking for, like, you know, where's Schefter? Where's the insider who can talk to freaking George McCaskey or even Flus himself and get us the actual scoop? Because we're not going to find out from the press conference.
Have you seen George McCaskey at the end of these?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, he's been in. Okay.
Freaking was on a scooter. Like, last week was like, what's up, Joe? And I'm like, how you doing, Mr. McCaskey? It's like, I want to call him George, but I'm like, I'm not calling you George. Hey, Mr. McCaskey.
Yeah, right.
You know.
Get your credentials stripped.
You know, he's on a freaking scooter zooming. I'm like, what in the world? I'm like, you trying to be cool now? You know, how do you do, kid? How do you do, fellow kids?
How do you, like, do, fellow kids?
But I saw him there a few times. I didn't see Ted Phillips. You know, shout out to God.
Keep him up there in that room.
I haven't seen. You know, of course, I'm in a new job, so I've been to four practices. So out of the 11. I want to say. So I've missed several occasions where I haven't seen Ryan Poles. It, probably because I was used to seeing Ryan Pace, but I
should have known Ryan Poles is somewhere negotiating.
I should have known he was a crappy GM when he was at every practice. I'm like, why are you here? Why aren't you in office? Why aren't you in office?
Go fucking do something, man.
I need to go back and count something. Like, what are you doing? So but
hopefully he's in a room with
he's as big as a lineman. He could have blended in and I wouldn't have known.
Yeah, but you
he is a lineman. It was a lineman. So
I hopefully he's in a room with Roquan negotiating somewhere. That's what I hope he's doing. But let's wrap this up with this, man. We're going into week three of the camp. I will be there. Yeah, y'all gonna see a lot of
Scott
me.
Scott will be taking over for camp. He will
for the rest of camp.
For the rest of camp, because I start work. I have all meetings this week. I will be with Scott a couple days.
I'll be a majority of all of them shits.
But he'll
camp closed on the 21st. Mm-hmm. I'll be coming in Tuesday. I'll be heading back to beautiful Los Angeles on the 20th. So I will be here for the rest of camp. I will be at Family Fest. I don't know if Joe's going to be there, but I will be at Family Fest.
Xavier Avery said, my fellow Curry alum, I drive to Mooney. Brother, you're going to be fine with Mooney.
Yes,
Mooney is going to be fine.
Shout out to Curry, Condors all day.
That is a great investment. If that's a sure thing. That's 1,200 yards, easy. I'm interested to see
what
how much
different
more
ways they use him. Yeah,
you know what I'm saying. I would love to see him come out the backfield.
Cole Kmet,
some end arounds. Not like Deebo Samuel because he'd have a size. Maybe some end arounds, maybe some freaking jet sweeps. You know, something crit. Man, play design. The play design's fire. And maybe it's such a low bar because yeah, I haven't because seen good play design.
It's like when a chick goes out on a date and she's happy the nigga opened the door for the car for like
exactly
shit. But we
there have been a lot of open players. It has nothing to do with this player would open because they're not all running freaking pulse routes or freaking curl routes. It was so much diversity. I can't say what it was because I know exactly what they were running, but so much more play diversity that I was like, that's what actual offense looks like. And Getsy, it reminded me of course, this is the only frame of reference that we have. And we're talking about Ditka and the defensive quarter, 85. Come on, it's still in my mind.
Buddy Ryan.
Well, Buddy Ryan, I'm in charge of the defense. Remember they fought over the defense? They weren't fighting. Getsy and Flus were not fighting nowhere near it. But the fact that they had their job. Flus was coming there watching the offense, you know, whistle.
Doesn't it feel good that Flus, that an offensive coordinator is able to do his job?
But Getsy was running that. Getsy was running his offense. Getsy
trusted people out.
The quarterback coach was talking to Justin. They had their roles. The defensive coordinator was doing his job. And the head coach was doing exactly what he should do. He was being a head coach. Also, let me be specific. This is Alan Williams, defensive coordinator. I'm a shout out to the brother who was running his defense. And it's like, man, he's doing what a coach should do. He is allowing his coordinators to call their side of the ball. I was like, huh. And that Bears fan in me was like, oh my God, do we have a coach? And it's just, I will never be someone who says I'm not a Bears fan just because I cover them. I love this team.
And like so said, in your
part of me, I was in that heat, like a little bit of tear was crying. I was like, just because I'm watching them lead their respective roles. So that was really, really cool to see. That was really cool to see.
Well, yeah, so we got week three coming up. Our first preseason game this week, so we'll actually be able to see the team in action. Me personally, when I'm going to be looking for a camp, I'm going to be looking at the receivers. Of course, we're looking at Justin all the fucking time. I'm going to see, you know, if any intensity ramps up, is you know, because this week will be officially 1 month to the actual season starts. What's some stuff you're looking forward to in this preseason game?
Give me one series from the first team. Get the ball out quickly. Throw a bomb.
Yes.
Like very, 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 very simple.
Very simple shit.
You get the ball at the 25-yard line.
And then we have Trevor Siemian for the rest of the damn game.
Exactly. Let Trevor Siemian play like he's back at Northwestern.
I think Trevor Siemian is a fine backup.
Hey, man.
If Justin gets hurt, I have no problem with Trevor Siemian for two or three games.
I remember when Trevor Siemian was playing with two quarterbacks. They had a two-quarterback system at Northwestern. And I was talking to Herb, and I cannot remember the – that was Nick. Nick and us, that I could not remember the other freaking quarterback at Northwestern. But, yeah, I'm fine with him. But all I want to see is first and 10, run play. Run play, get you 5 yards. Next play – let me do an end route. Let me do a freaking slant route. All right, you got that. Next play, let's do an intermediate, probably do an arrow route. After not an arrow route, do a freaking post corner route, do a corner route. After we have that, let's do another running play. Maybe now we'll get the arrow route. Bomb it. If not, punt it off. That's it. We don't care. The result has nothing to do with anything, but just see how receivers going to do when they're going for a jump ball. Let's see if Justin can lay it out for them. Let's see how they respond and get their timing in those quick routes. Obviously, get the running back some runs in there. And then call it a day. Sit him back in and let's watch Trevor Siemian show and then the Nathan Peterman show.
Shout out to Blake, man. My guy Blake, what's going on, bro? He said, keep up the good work, man. We appreciate anybody who's been watching and listening. If you caught in at the end of this, the audio will be up in about 10 minutes. I'm going to post this tonight because I will be intoxicated at Dodger Stadium tomorrow. So I will not be need to get that out the way just right now. Post it up for everybody who missed it. But you know to follow us on Twitter at Barbershare Scott, at Flows and Delini. Follow the Barbershare Net at Barbershare Net on Twitter and Instagram. Subscribe to our Patreon, patreon.com/Barbershare Network. For those of you who are looking for this week's summer sessions, we had to scrap it. There's no way that was going to come out.
Computer, you'll never find it.
Like, it's been deleted off StreamYard. It just could not see the light of days. So we had to make an executive decision. We will give y'all another episode soon. But the bcnet.com, you can check out Flo's new article where he talks about Justin Fields. very good article, if I may say so myself. It's called The Prince That Was Promised. Check that out. Right now, I've got my latest episode of the I'm Not Gonna Hold You to All Season. It's me and ESPN's own Clinton Yates. We had a good conversation about black media, black baseball, and a whole bunch of good shit. Check that out. And for those of you who have not, if you've been living on a fucking rock, and you don't know about our event that's going on in exactly 12 days, which will be on Thursday, August 18th. It is 79th and Hallis 200.
This is my article.
That's the link for the article. We're going to put that in. But it is at the Haymarket Pub and Brewery, 737 West Randolph Street in Chicago, man, hosted by J.R. Bain. Doors open at 5:30. We'll be doing a live show there. We're going to have a DJ set. We're going to party. We're going to have a good night. All y'all come out. Shout out to a great number of y'all who bought. A lot of people got tickets. So shout out all y'all who got tickets. 20 of y'all have been selected for the VIP list, which means you will get a drink ticket, which you can get you a free drink. And you will get a raffle ticket in the Pillars raffle, and you can get you a free outfit from any Pillars location. Shout out to my brother Mike over there. So get that. We will be sending emails to all of the VIP winners with like on the week of the event. So look out for that. And I'll be in town next week. So anybody who's at the practices or at the preseason game, Family Fest, just hit me up on Twitter, man. We all going to be in there. We appreciate each and every one of y'all as usual, man. So we'll holler at y'all next week. We out.